It's the Garnet Trust Hour.
Me and our guest, who unfortunately got held up by a train for a few minutes. Now, we were talking about a few minutes ago, it's going to be weird to say former Gamecock tight end, Nate Atkins. Welcome to the studio, Nate. How are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
On your home of the Gamecocks.
Some of the trains, you can try to go around, and you run into the same train, like they trick you.
And like I pulled up, and it was just now starting. Like I heard it, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Like the thing just went down.
107.5, the game.
And welcome in to the Garnet Trust Hour here on 107.5 The Game. Tyler Head, Chris Clark along with you, welcoming in our special guest today. And I've said this over the past couple of days, it kind of feels weird to say this now because we have to. Former South Carolina Gamecock wide receiver Josh Vann in studio with us. Josh, thank you so much for joining us, and excited to talk to you today.
Yeah, man, thank you. You know, I just thank y'all for having me here today, and you know, just hope we have a great session today.
No, absolutely. Going to be a lot of fun. And like I mentioned, it is kind of weird, Chris, to say former South Carolina wide receiver because he's been here forever, it seems like.
No, we're still in denial. Josh is still here. He's like Nate Atkins. Like, we asked Nate, we're like, all right, man, you sure you don't have an extra year, you know, just laying around in the couch cushion somewhere?
Like an extra COVID year or something.
An extra COVID year. Man, it has been crazy, though, Josh. Like, you remember, so you were in the 2018 class.
Yeah.
And that was actually the first year that there was an early signing period.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember being at your school, early that morning. Because you did sign in December.
Yeah.
And I remember being at your school that morning and signing. It was a big pickup at the time for the Gamecocks. But that seems like a long time ago, right?
Yeah, man, it's... Freaking, what was that, five years ago,
pretty much. I mean, it'll be 5 years in December, I guess.
Yeah, man, it's just crazy. It's just crazy, you know, just being able to sign early in December and, you know, just looking through all the years and everything that I've, you know, accomplished and, you know, just all the different teams for those 5 years and, you know, just seeing where I am now is, you know, it's crazy.
It is crazy. It was really awesome the other day. So this kind of hit me when we were out there at Pro Day the other day, you working out, and you're out there running, you know, preparing for your NFL dream after, you know, kind of everything just coming full circle from the high school level. Your daughter's out there running around. So let's get some dad stories, first of all. How old is your daughter now?
She's 15 months. So, yeah. You know, for people that don't know that, I'm still, you know, getting accustomed to that. She's one, you know, 1 in 3 months, I guess. But like I said, you know, just earlier talking to you guys before we started today, I was just with her this morning. She woke up with a poopy diaper, so I had to change that. And before I had to leave, she wanted to poop again, so had to change that again. You know, man, she's always into stuff. You know, we got a couch, so if I just so happen to just sit on the floor, she already got that drilled in her mind to hop on the couch and just run off the couch. So she know I'm gonna catch her. So, you know, man, it's crazy. She's counting from 1 to 10 already.
Ooh.
You know, always saying dad, dad, mama, always clapping. And, you know, man, it's just crazy. Like I said, you know, me, I would have never thought that I would have a kid this early. But, you know, now that she's here, you know, I just can't do nothing but thank God every day, you know, just to be able to raise something that special. So.
Well, you mentioned the diaper. I mean, you're doing better than DeCarrion, because did you hear his story the other day?
No.
So he had his little girl recently. And he was talking with the media guys this week, and they're like, give us a dad story. And he was like, man, I thought I was going to take this one to the grave. But he said when he took her to a doctor's appointment the other day, the doctor was like, all right, can you give her a clean diaper so we can weigh her? And he didn't even have a diaper on.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, that's the worst. When we had to travel down to Charleston one time, and I forgot all her stuff.
Oh, like, no.
We had went to Hilton Head one time. I forgot her crib. I forgot her playpen. Like, you know, her pack and play that turns into a crib. I forgot that. I forgot the diaper bag. Like, Hey, man, it happens.
It does happen, man. It's a lot of stress. Not a lot of sleep. You're running on little sleep. Your decision-making isn't the best.
Man, it all happens. It all happens very fast. But, you know, we live and we learn every day, you know. And you just try to wake up the next day and say, okay, I'm not going to make this mistake today. So, you know, what can I do to make that better? So.
Yeah, it does take practice, just like on the field. What's your most indispensable tool for child rearing? Is it the pack and play? Is it something else? You got like a go-to, if you can remember it. I've forgotten all the stuff too in the past.
If it's a go-to right now, I'll just bring out a dame a little basketball.
Oh.
And she'll dang, if she's crying and she see the little basketball, she'll dang just start playing with
dribbling
that.
Dribbling it around a little bit, dunking.
Yeah.
You got her a little goal?
Yeah.
Well, something else we got to do. We asked you last year about your starting five from the football team, and we need to update that to make sure.
Shoot, I got to go back there and
we ask every single football player their starting five.
Well, you know, I'll still be in the starting five.
Oh, I know.
Be at the starting five.
I think, we only had one that didn't include themselves in the starting five. Was that Doty?
Yeah, Luke did not put himself in the starting five.
Well, I can agree with it. I can agree with Luke.
But he's not even mad at you. He didn't even pretend. He was just like, nah, I'm not in it.
Luke is a hustle player. So, I mean, if I would have Luke definitely coming off the bench. And,
Did anybody have Josh in their starting five?
I can't remember. We need like a full listing.
Yeah.
You know, of all times. Like, we just need to plaster it up here so we can kind of keep track of it. There's some carryover with some guys that
that show up on just about every single team.
Yeah, they make about every team. Like, I think TJ Sanders made most teams.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard Boogie's team?
Who do he have?
But it's scary. It's scary, though.
A whole bunch of big guys.
A team that's going to be very good on defense, physically.
It was scary, though. It was like him, Nick Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
Tonka might have been on his
team. I think Tonka was on there.
Birch might have been on his team.
Pretty much, you're just going to have to pull up from three every single time. You're not getting in the paint.
I already know. I had to play against them. I went to the strong, and I had to play against them. We lost, but...
Oh.
But my team wasn't really that good.
Oh. So you didn't have your hand-selected, hand-picked starting five?
I play basketball with anybody. You know what I'm saying? I'm that good.
Have you seen Spencer play?
I actually haven't seen Spencer play.
You hadn't seen his highlight tape?
Mm-mm.
Dude.
I heard he can play, though.
He can. State champ in high school. And he got, I don't want to say he got mad at me, but when he was in here, I say he disagreed with me. Because I was watching his tape,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, hey, you got kind of like that quarterback mentality, like pass first. And he's like, nah, I'm score first. But he's got it. I'm gonna queue up his highlight tape for you during a break. I'm gonna send it to you. He can play. I think he put himself on his team. He had a pretty good squad too, as I remember.
Yeah, from what I remember, we'll have to go back and listen to see what his full team was. But I can't remember if anybody had Josh on their team or not.
I think so. Darius Rush, that was one.
I'd be shocked if nobody had me.
Cam Smith, I don't think made a team.
I don't think so.
Which is kind of surprising. I feel like he'd probably be good at defense. He'd be like super annoying to play against.
Maybe.
Might get in foul trouble pretty quickly.
Yeah, he'd probably get in foul trouble
pretty quick.
All right, Josh, let's go back to pro day real quick. Or let's go back even farther than that. So your senior season,
mm-hmm.
tough into it, right? Because you made a great catch in that Clemson game. And kind of looked like you came down the wrong way
mm-hmm.
on the knee, so you had to miss the bowl game. But I don't even think we know a lot really about that process. So if you want to go into it, you know, tell us a little bit about that injury and kind of the process to come back. 'Cause, man, you look fully healthy at Pro Day here recently.
Yeah. Like I said, everything happened so fast. You know, I was even shocked when it happened. More so scared, you know, if anybody see it and watch the game, that's why I was down so long, just because I was, you know, I was just scared. But, mm-hmm. you know, thankfully, nothing bad happened. I just had an LCL strain. You know, nothing was torn. Of course, you know, everything was just swollen pretty bad from like literally from my butt all the way down to my calf.
Oof.
So yeah, it was pretty bad. When it happened, of course, like, you know, I'm trying to get back out there and play. they took me under the tent, and, you know, Dr. Guy was like, yeah, man, you're done. And, you know, I was upset, but, you know, about 5 minutes went by. I couldn't put no pressure on it, so I was like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm just have to deal with it, you know, but, you know, just support my teammates and, you know, just happy that we came out with a win that day, you know. But, yeah, that process, it was very, very, very long, you know, headed down to Pensacola, Florida, to train with Exos. And it was a lot of I'm not so much of a mental freak, but it was a lot of dark days for me just because, you know, that's the first time I've ever had a knee injury. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I said, thankfully nothing was torn, but it was just, you know, getting up in the morning. One, you got to make yourself get up in the morning. There's nobody, you know, nobody checking in on you, calling your phone to get you up. You know, so one, you got to get yourself up. And, you know, you got to like, okay, I'm going to go to work today. And then, you know, when I do get to the facility, I can't do anything. You know, I gotta see everybody else, you know, see all the other players from all over compete and, you know, get better. And, you know, I'm just watching, literally watching from the windows. Like I said, we're inside right now. So this is kind of like what I was doing, just inside, sitting on the trainer bed and just watching, just doing a whole bunch of rehab training. Like I said, I couldn't do anything because my knee was still swollen. You know, that's how pretty bad it was. But you know, saying eventually I was able to, you know, get out there. You know, the doctor down there put me in a knee brace, first time ever. It was so ugly, but, but I had to do what I had to do. And, like I said, you know, it was a lot of dark days where, you know, I just didn't want to do anything, man, because it was hard. Like I said, everything is mental. You know, you see us athletes out there and, you know, you think, oh, you know, everybody has a lot of athletic ability and physical talents, but, you know, it all comes from the brain. And, you know, you got to tell yourself, you really got to motivate yourself. Like, you know, I got to go to work and I got to do what I got to do today. So, you know, saying just to be able to put all that together and, you know, go out there last Monday, you know, just showcase everything that I'm, you know, capable of. It was really good to experience and show that.
All right, we're here on the Garnet Trust Hour with Josh Fan. Tyler, we got to take a quick time out real quick, but when we come back, talk with Josh more about fatherhood, look back at his Carolina career, and forward to his future in the NFL.
Yeah, as we head into this break, I want to let you know about the 107.5 The Game Spring Golf Classic coming up tomorrow at Charward Golf Club in West Columbia. If you want to take part in it, give Charward a call at 803-755-2000. Registered. It's going to be $100 per person and $400 per team. Josh is actually going to be hanging out with us for a little bit tomorrow. Very excited for that. Got a lot of cool prizes to give away, including some autographed gear from various Gamecock athletes. One lucky person is going to win season tickets to all remaining USC baseball games. And we also have a tailgating spot to give away for the upcoming Carolina Cup. Lunch will also be provided by Firehouse Subs. And if that's not enticing enough for you, it's also going to be beautiful weather, temperatures in the 80s, a perfect day for golf. So don't miss your chance to be a part of the 107.5 The Game Spring Golf Classic. More with Josh Van on the Garnet Trust Hour coming up next on 107.5 The Game.
Broadcasting live from the Herndon Chevrolet Studios, this is 107.5 The Game.
A great selection of new Chevys is available now at Herndon Chevrolet. The lot is packed with inventory and more is on the way. So shop your hometown Chevy dealer today.
Stop by or shop online today and see why Herndon Chevrolet makes you smile. It's the Garnet Trust Hour on your home of the Gamecocks. 107.5 The Game.
And welcome back into the Garnet Trust Hour here on 107.5 The Game. Tyler Head and Chris Clark along with you. Special guest today, former South Carolina wide receiver Josh Van. And Josh Van not only going to be in here today, also going to be hanging out with us tomorrow at the 107.5 The Game Spring Golf Classic out at the Charwood Golf Club in West Columbia. Josh, got to ask, how good of a golfer are you?
Not that good.
Not good?
But hey, y'all can show me a little something out there. So I may be able to pick up a few tips from you guys.
I told somebody the other day, you need to get like a copy of like Tiger Woods PGA 08 or something and just like brush up on it real quick and improve your game between now and tomorrow.
Oh, well, if I got to do that, is what I got to do, man.
You think Are you going to be more of like a finesse golfer? Or are you just going to like, I'm going to hit it as hard as I can?
I'm going to just go out there and hit it. I would try to finesse it, though. My biggest thing, I like the putt. I like to do mini golf. So
oh, okay.
I like to do putt, but I'm not that good at that either, but I just like it. So
now when you say hit it as hard as you can, I think of Happy Gilmore and just like smacking it.
Absolutely, smash it. Now, some of your guys on your former team, I'm having a hard time adjusting that. Some of your former teammates on the team now say they're really good golfers.
Oh, yeah, so, nah. It's a lot of guys that definitely went golfing. I think Luke golfs.
Yeah.
Jalen Dickerson golfs.
Does Jalen? I didn't know that one.
Yeah, all of them.
Spencer's a big golfer.
Yeah.
Big golfer. Another big golfer is in studio with us too now. Jeremy Smith, Garnet Trust. Big time golfer.
Yeah, big time is, and I go out a lot, but I don't know how how great I am at golf. But I tell you what, the special teams unit though at USC, man, those are some serious golfers.
Yeah, it's Kai. Kai's apparently really good. Kai's good at. Is there anything Kai can't do, Josh? Have you ever seen
him like fail at anything? I think Kai can do everything. I haven't seen anything that he can't do. So I believe he got that swing going.
We got a lot of stuff to still get to with you, Josh, here on the Garnet Trust Hour. Here's a completely random question. Like, there's absolutely no segue whatsoever to this. Catching punts. All right. Me not being a football player, obviously, if you couldn't tell. catching a punt to me seems like probably the most like nerve-wracking play in football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about a dude. Imagine a Kai Kroger punting the ball like into orbit, and then it's coming down at you. It's top spinning. You've got 10 to 11 guys running at you full speed, trying to destroy you while you're trying to catch the ball. Mm-hmm. Are you just like, is it kind of just no big deal to you?
You know, with a whole bunch of practice and and prayer. Yes, it is. It is no big deal. But just any given moment, you know, you can slip up and lose focus. But like I said, I practiced on it a lot. Like I said, I did it in middle school, high school. So I just did it through my 5 years in college. So, you know, I guess my tip that I use, you know, you got to see the ball off the, like I said, if Kyle was kicking it, he's a lefty. So, you know, every kick is different, you know, from a righty or a lefty. So I see the ball off the foot. And, you know, that kind of, like, just give me, like, a guess of where the ball is going. And depending on how the spin is, if it comes out, like, a quarterback threw it, it's going to go far. If it comes out, like, you know, we call it a duck, where it's just, like, all flappy, it's going to fall short. Like you said, if the ball turns over, it's going to come down far. If the ball is just, like, just staying up high, it's going to fall short. So, you know, you just see the ball off his foot. And so I see the ball. I look at the ball, and I for like a slight half a second, I look to see where, you know, the coverage team is at. And that will kind of give me an idea if I want to return the ball or, you know, fair catch it. And like I said, 9 times out of 10, you know, if you got to secure the catch. And if it's a guy, I promise you, if you watch this throughout all college football, NFL, the first guy always misses. Like, he always misses. Like, they teach to break down, and, you know, but for some reason, the first guy never does it. I say 9 times out of 10, somebody's going to make the tackle, but 9 times out of 10, that first person is always going to miss. So, you know, you just make sure you catch it first and then, you know, give like a little side step. He's going to fly right by you. And, you know, that's where you make, make the rest of your moves at. So
there was one last year Wes and I talked about all the time. Can't remember the game. Maybe Wes remembers, or you might remember. You called it like off your shoe tops. I don't know if you saw it a little bit late.
I think that was it was a home game, wasn't it?
It was casual, though.
I'm going to get in on this. I love this conversation. I think it was SC State, maybe? It was definitely a home game because the whole crowd was like, oh, and Josh just like, I got it. It's cool.
I feel like it was probably the A&M, but I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but I think I know what you're talking about because I was facing the student section.
Mm-hmm.
And I was almost like next to the end zone, next to the 2001 end zone, and yeah, I definitely, you know, you got to see the ball through, and so like I said, that ball, it never turned over,
mm-hmm.
so you know, I'm expecting it to come like where I was, and it just felt a little short. But, you know, you see the ball all the way through and, you know, caught it with my fingertips.
So, Josh, you said that you have to glance at the, like, the defenders coming down. At what point when the ball goes up, like, is that right after it's kicked mm-hmm. that you sort of get a little feel? So, can you – so, after that point, you're obviously tracking the football.
Yeah.
Can you feel the gunners and, like, defenders – coming in, like, do you have any feel for where they are at that point?
Like I said, I believe I know that I have, you know, pretty good awareness of, you know, what's around me and stuff like that. So, like I said, with a whole bunch of practice, like I said, you see the ball, it's like boom, boom. Like, it's see a kick, look, and then look back at the ball. So, you know what I'm saying? So, by me looking at the coverage team, if I see the gunners running free, I'm probably not going to return it just because, you know, if I see that, you know, the hold-up team got a half a second block, you know, holding them up, then, you know, it's a slight chance that I'll be able to return this one and, one, not get busted up. But, you know, two, just be able to make a good enough return. So it's pretty challenging. It's tough. Like you said, not your average Joe would be able to go out there and do that. You know, like you said, just earlier you said you was watching the offensive lineman catching those punts. Like, it's not easy. And it's always fun watching them catch punts and, you know, It's a good time back there.
I'm curious about this, and I played baseball in high school. It was so easy to lose a baseball up in the lights, and obviously mm-hmm. football's a lot bigger than a baseball, but those night games, is it easy to lose the ball up in the lights with everything going on up there, especially if you're looking up and down?
Oh, yeah, always. Like I said, you know, not to, like, you know, showboat about anything, but, you know, my You Got Moss catch at Georgia, I lost the ball in the light. I literally just jumped. Like, I literally just jumped when he jumped, and I just came down with the ball. But I literally lost the ball in the light. Like, I'm not joking. But, yeah, man, those lights be so bright that, you know, of course, the ball is like a little ant when it goes up in the air. So the ball gets lost real quick, and, you know, you just gotta have a feel for where it's going to be at. And, you know, of course, he'll come out the light, and then, you know, he's able to go make the catch and stuff.
So. That's how Nate Adkins' his catch against Clemson. He mm-hmm. said that was kind of an accident, a little bit. I mean, he said he just stuck his hand up, and it just stuck to his hand.
Hey, sometimes miracles happen. I'm telling you.
He even brought, when he was bringing the ball down, the defender got a hand on it, and he still held on to it. Pretty incredible. But on the special team subject, Josh, so you always hear, like, NFL teams, their rosters are limited, right? I mean, they don't have 85 paid guys on the roster. They don't have 100-something overall players like college football rosters do. They've got their 53-man, and then they got their practice squad and all that stuff. So you always hear that guys with special teams ability, whether it's coverage, return, have a greater chance of sticking. What kind of feedback have you gotten during this process just about what teams or, you know, general managers, agents, I mean, what have they thought about that aspect of your game and helping you and the pros with it?
You know, so far I got a call about 3 days ago, and the guy, he was definitely like, you know, if you come here now, you'll definitely be our starting punt returner, just because, you know, you did really good, like really, really well this year, returning punts. You know, obviously, you know, this past year didn't go, you know, obviously it didn't go the way that I thought it was going to go, and definitely, you know, the way that, you know, all the fans were, you know, projecting my final year to go. But, you know, I just took advantage of all my opportunities, and, you know, being back there on punt return, like I said, that was pretty much the only time I was getting the ball throughout the whole year. So I was like, you know, I just got to make something happen. And, you know, most of the times I did, sometimes I fair catched it. But yeah, special teams definitely go a long way. You know, hopefully, you know, God willing, that I'll be, you know, in this next month and a quarter so far. You know, if I get drafted somewhere, hopefully, you know, I'll be playing receiver. And obviously, you know, being able to have that extra attribute of, you know, playing special teams and being a punt returner. Regardless, if I'm a punt returner, if I'm a gunner, like I say, you know, like you say, it's a limited roster. So whatever I could do to be on the team, you know, I'm going to do it. So, you know, I got to do what I got to do.
Keep our conversation with Josh Van Rollen here on the Garnet Trust Hour on 107.5 The Game.
What we're talking about on 107.5 The Game.
Sponsored by Love Chevrolet.
And welcome back into the Garnet Trust Hour on 107.5 The Game. Tyler West and Chris Long with you with our special guest today, former South Carolina wide receiver Josh Van. And before that last break, we were talking a lot about special teams. And obviously, that special teams is a big, important part of this South Carolina football team with Shane Beamer, obviously, with his lineage, his dad and Beamer ball. But Pete Limbo is viewed as one of the best special teams coordinators in the entire country. What's your relationship like with Coach Limbo, and how do you feel like he set you up for success with your future career in the NFL?
Oh, Pete, that's my guy. Coach Limbo. I wouldn't say it was a love-hate relationship, but, you know, Coach Limbo definitely got on my nerves sometimes, and I got on his. But at the end of the day, I've always found myself in his office, you know, just talking football and talking about schemes and what I can do better, you know, learning from him. And, you know, obviously, you know, these coaches, man, you know, it's so much that they're like whizzes, man. They know so much. And, you know, as a special teams coordinator, you know, that sometimes that kind of goes unnoticed. But, you know, like I said, he was a former head coach. So, you know, he knew a lot of stuff, you know, talking to me about receiver stuff when it comes down to blocking. You know, and of course, like I said, he was a special teams coordinator. So, you know, I was always in his office, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, how I can, is it talking about punt returns, what I can do this week to give me a good return, you know, what we can do this week, what we can do that week. You know, it was always different stuff. But, you know, Pete's definitely my guy. You know, I love him to death. And, you know, he definitely set me up for hopefully a long run in the NFL.
Does Pete, Coach Limbo, have a movie or a story or a history lesson for every single meeting y'all have?
Everything. He always say, dang, what he used to say, everything is not as it seem. Basically, like, you know, we work on special teams. It's half the battle. That's what he said. So he will obviously bring up, dang, what war was it? I forgot what war was it. But basically, like, they were coming up the two hills, but in the middle, it was like a whole dip. So, of course, it was half of what you thought was going to be. So, but, you know, it was a whole lot. But basically, like, you know, we're working on special teams. If I'm working on, you know, getting off a block, you know, my teammate has to, you know, do a good job of helping me do that as well. So he had a whole bunch of stuff. He always had some movie that translated to the practice today or what we was working on. It was a lot, man. Pete Limbo is, he's a guy of mystery, I would say that.
Interesting guy.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, but very successful. I mean, special teams at South Carolina have been exceptional for the last couple of seasons. And I guess I'm taking over this segment for Chris Clark. We got our half of an hour of work out of Chris. I think that's where he cuts off and just leaves. So we're going to bring Jeremy Smith back in as well. Jeremy, the director of operations over at Garnet Trust. And Jeremy, you and I were talking off air. This interview and then Josh's appearance tomorrow, I believe, as well, is part of an NIL deal. And just kind of, do you want to tell those listening about how NIL is obviously about current student athletes, and a lot of people maybe think it's only about that, but I think at South Carolina and with Garnet Trust that there's a push to try to support South Carolina student athletes even beyond the 3 to 4 to 5 years that they are at South Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of folks, you know, consider the university, its athletes, as part of their family. And for the Garnet Trust, these student athletes are, they are our family, whether they're here on campus or they have left to do other things after school. And Josh is a perfect example of that. I made a commitment to Josh last year towards the end of the season that once he, you know, got rehabbed and got prepared for the NFL, that we wanted to make sure we did something for him. And today's that day, and we'll continue to work with Josh. But I was at an event last night, and we, you know, we really stressed that it's not about the 4 years that you're at USC that matters. It's about the 40 years after. And so what we're trying to do is help prepare these student athletes to go into the real world and have some financial literacy, have some opportunities that to build up their brand so that whatever they're doing, they can be successful in it.
Yeah, no doubt, and certainly important. I think we bring this up a lot, Jeremy, but maybe worth reiterating, the headlines sort of tend to go to the, maybe to me, like the bad sides of NIL and like, oh, this guy got offered this to leave a school and this guy got offered millions of dollars, where for the most part, NIL, I think, is about supporting your student athletes in their everyday life. I mean, Josh here, obviously, is a dad now. And, you know, you have Dakarion, who is a dad now. And I think any way that the collectives like Garnet Trust and just fans out there can sort of give opportunities to support student athletes and former student athletes in their day-to-day lives for their real life situations probably needs to be spotlighted a little bit more, as opposed to like the headline grabbing, oh, this quarterback got offered 14 mil, but then it didn't come through. And then that kind of steals the headlines.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I always ask all the student athletes that we go into contract with, you know, what are you planning to do with the money that you earn through charitable events or media content, et cetera? And every single one of them, the first thing out of their mouth is helping my family. And they usually go into a very specific examples of helping their mother, their father, their siblings, their aunts, their uncles, and how that money is going to help them fulfill the needs that they have in their life. And I mean, almost brought to tears every time that I have these conversations, because there's a lot of things we don't know. We see these individuals on the field and we just assume everything is great, but a lot of them have a lot of hard struggles. And I'm so blessed to be able to help facilitate some of those things that will give them and their families a little bit of relief while they're here at USC.
Josh, let's bring you back in on this convo, man. So we've done several Garnet Trust interviews on the computer with you, and I think I even mentioned this at the time, man. You would always get this massive grin on your face when you're talking about your daughter, man. So how's the adjustment been to fatherhood, and what have you most learned in this last year or so as you've made that transition?
A lot. patience. I would say that. Patience. I can't preach that enough. Definitely a lot of patience. Just because, like, you know, I've learned a lot, especially, you know, my daughter's routine. You know, she'll wake up in the morning and she'll play. Then she'll start getting a little antsy. That's how you know it's time for her to eat breakfast. And she'll play again. And I just noticed it just be little stuff. If she just running and fall, she'll start busting out crying like freaking Jeepers Creepers chasing after her or something like that. And, you know, if you try to pick her up, she start crying. So that's how I know, okay, it's time for your nap. Okay, she'll take a nap for about maybe 1.5, 2 hours. Shoot, it could be 30 minutes. I hate when that happens because, you know, that's my alone time. And you next thing you know, I just hear some noise. You know, I'm like, man. So, you know, I got to deal with her. Well, I'm not saying deal with her like it's a bad thing, but, you know, take out her crib and she ready to play again. It's been a lot of stuff that I learned. And, you know, saying obviously going off the train, I was gone for 2 months. So, you know, not being around her every day really sucked. Obviously, because, you know, I was with her every day through the season. And, you know, just having to go away for 2 months, you know, it was really not depressing, but, you know, just being accustomed to that lifestyle, seeing my daughter every day and to not seeing her for a whole 2 months, that was really hard. But, you know, now I'm back in the house and sometimes I'm like, dang, I wish I'm back down here. But, you know, it's all good, though. And it's all good. And, you know, I just I'm just thankful for her to even be here. So,
and we've had plenty of football players come through in the Garnet Trust Tower. We're very well aware of how chaotic the schedule is, especially during the season for you guys. So how do you balance being a full-time football player and student athlete at that with also being a father?
What'd you say? Sorry.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I just said we've had a lot of football players come through here on the Garnet Trust Hour. We know how chaotic the schedule is being a full-time football player and a student athlete at the same time. How do you balance all that with being a father too?
It was a lot. It was definitely a lot. But, you know, I just told myself not to make it harder than, you know, what it really needs to be. And, you know, everything that popped up in line, I was just like, you know, I just got to take care of this. She need diapers. She need wipes. Okay, I got to take care of this. So I know she's on top of that. You know, make sure I had everything down just so everything won't be last minute. Like I knew I had class, so I only had like one in-person class, the rest were online. So, you know, the days I had to go in class, you know, just making sure everything's, you know, on top of everything. Of course, you know, waking up every morning to go to practice, you know, get out of practice, you know, chill with Jenna for a little bit, then I'll have class. So you know, it's really just not stressing myself out, because, like, the more you stress, like I said, patience. You got to give yourself patience and, you know, tell yourself not to make it harder than what it really is, especially early on, because, you know, all she was doing was eating, sleeping, and pooping. And you just need to change the diaper. So I'm like, okay, that's really all I need to do. Just feed her, change the diaper, and, you know, give her a nap, burp her. So I say, you know, just not making it way harder than what it really needs to be. And, of course, you know, I was just, you know, ready to graduate, you know, making sure I was taking care of my education. So, you know, I always have that, you know, in the back of my book. You know, I'm very proud of my accomplishment to, you know, graduate from college, because, you know, that was my original plan. You know, it wasn't, you know, play football. That was just God's gift. You know, it was really more so getting my education and graduating. Like I said, I'm the second one in my family to graduate from a 4-year college. So, you know, just to have that, you know, on top of my head, you know, just that means more than everything to me. So
that's awesome. Wes, we've been with Josh for about 45 minutes. We haven't asked about food. We're definitely gonna have to get that on the other side as we wrap up today's edition of the Garnet Trust Hour with special guest Josh Vann from Gamecocks Football here on 107.5 The Game.
It's the Garnet Trust Hour
on your home of the Gamecocks,
107.5 The Game.
And welcome back into the Garnet Trust Hour on 107.5 The Game. Tyler West, Chris, and Josh Vann along with you for a few more minutes. And I tease this before the break. Every time we have a guest in here, we have to ask some food questions. Are you a relatively healthy eater, Josh, or do you like to splurge?
So lately I've been eating healthy. Lately, you know, just, you know, getting my body right. You know, obviously, you know, training for a pro day, you know, don't want to go out there and eat 12 donuts of, you know, I eat something like that every now and then. Like I said, we had cheat days on Wednesday, so we'll have, like, it'll be burger or some shrimp, chicken fingers, and, you know, they'll give, like, they gave us, like, a little red velvet cake. But normally, if I'm not preparing myself for anything, I wouldn't say I'll splurge, but I'm pretty solid on what I eat. Like I said, you know, like I was off air, I was, you know, just talking that, you know, my favorite food is chicken Alfredo. Like I said, but at the end of the day, I always go with old fashioned cheeseburger. So, cheeseburger, some fries. Like I said, if you mess up a burger, there's something wrong with you. So,
have you eaten 12 donuts before,
no,
or was that just an example?
I don't remember the last time I've had donuts. Like I said, that's. Like I said, I'm not much of a sweet eater. Like I say, you know, my fiance just made some brownies the other night, and you know, I probably had like 2 pieces of the brownie. But
you could have brought us some in here, Josh.
I could have. I had to change 2 dirty diapers before I came here already. So I wasn't thinking about brownies. All I saw was brown.
Yeah, that probably gets you out of the mood a little bit.
Yeah,
it's like, ooh, it's too close.
What's going on the burger, man? If you had your absolute perfect burger.
Well, one, it'll be two patties.
We're here for it.
Some days I put some mayonnaise on it, but I always have some ketchup and mustard on there. Obviously, cheese. Sometimes I like to do pepper jack, but of course I'll go with some regular old cheddar cheese, some lettuce, and some onions. No tomatoes. Don't do tomatoes.
Pickles.
Oh yeah, and some pickles
on it.
Yeah.
All right, good. Wes doesn't like pickles.
Not at all.
Not here.
So you don't like tomatoes at all?
No, I hate tomatoes.
I don't think Chris does either.
Tomatoes are terrible.
They suck.
They do.
I don't even know.
Slimy, vile.
Wow.
Who made tomatoes?
It's the red ring of death.
Yeah,
it's absolutely.
Wait, you
awful.
Too, Tyler?
I've come around on them a little bit. Yeah. If they're on eat it, but I don't go out of my way to eat a tomato.
No.
Not a raw tomato. Some people eat, like, tomato sandwich.
Oh, yeah, that's so good.
Oh, man, that sounds like the worst thing ever.
Sounds horrible.
Tomato. If you grow up in the country, man.
Yeah.
My mom eats those.
Tomato, Duke's mayo, salt, pepper back in the day. Yeah. Like, that's a classic.
It's a meal. Yeah. I do like tomato pie. And I like tomatoes and other things, but not raw. Absolutely horrible. All right, so Josh, when you ran your 40, you were not, your stomach was not logged with 12 donuts or a burger or anything like that?
Definitely not.
Josh was hauling, man.
Hauling. 4.43.
Hey, Josh, tell him what you ran. I think that was off air when we were talking about that.
Yeah.
So,
when I first was able to run after the injury, my first 40 was 4.69. So
wow.
Yeah. So to able to get that down to a 4.43, you know, that just speaks a lot to how hard I was training.
Did that time, be honest, did it surprise you in either way? Were you like, I think I'm going to run a little bit faster? Or was it like, man, I got after it. Like, that was a little bit better than I thought.
This Monday?
Yeah, on Pro Day.
I wasn't surprised just because, you know, running that 4.69, that was on laser. Obviously, you know,
yeah.
Pro Day was hand time, but I got it down in Florida. I got it down to a 4.44 laser.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just... I wasn't surprised at all having that on hand time. You know, I thought it was going to be lower than that, but hey, I can't complain. You know, I got it down to a 4.44 laser time, and you know, they clocked me in at a 4.43 there at Pro Day. So, you know, I was happy with the results. Of course, like, I know I'm not Flash Gordon or anything, but I knew a lot of people kind of mistake me for my speed. They don't think I'm fast, you know, but you know, people will talk and they'll have all types of narratives about you, but like I said, I was just happy to be able to walk and run.
Sure.
From that injury, so you know, just to be able to go out there and run as fast as I did, you know, a lot of heads were turned, and you know, so I'm just glad that happened.
Were you nervous at all for Pro Day?
Oh yeah, I was definitely nervous. I it was like any given football game.
Yeah.
You know, I said I get the butterflies before the game, and Once I get out there, I'm good. Like I said, if it's football games, I catch my first pass, run my first route, get the first hit, I'll be good. Like I said, that Pro Day, when I got that first jump, which I'm pretty sure everybody was there and they saw that, and you heard everybody's reactions, I was like, yeah, man, all the jitters was out, and I was just ready to kill it for the rest of the day.
I feel like in some ways, Pro Day can be even more nerve-wracking than a game, because everybody's just like, they're looking at you. They're not looking at the team. They're looking... straight
dead at you. You don't have no helmet on, so you know they'll see all type of facial reactions, all type of, you know, they definitely see your body language then. So you know, you got to shake those nerves, and you know, you just got to go out there and do. And you just got to go do it.
Real quick, when you talk about running a 40, and obviously you know you're talking about tenths of a second here. Do you know when it's a good time and when it's not, based on just small little things that you feel over the course of those 4 seconds?
Oh yeah, you definitely know. Like I said, training, it was a lot. It was all about the get off. That's what my coach was teaching me down there. It was the get off. And even running that 40 down there, I definitely felt myself, like that first two steps, I kind of froze a little bit. Like I said, it's kind of hard to explain, but you know, when you're out there running, you know, you'll feel it. But you know, just that difference. If you come out too high, if you pick your head up too early, you don't have that drive phase. If you run the 40 and you think it's a track meet and you try to lean like you know, cross the finish line, that will slow you down. It's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into it that will literally be, if you come out in the first 8 yards, you pick your head up, you'll run a freaking... a 4.51. But if you keep your head down, you'll run a 4.46. So, you know, it's literally... literally that much that can change the outcome of that run. So
I gotcha. Well, Josh, we certainly appreciate you joining us for the Garnet Trust Hour. And I don't know if Jeremy Smith's still in the studio as well, but we certainly appreciate him putting all this together for us, and look forward to seeing you out at the 107.5 The Game Spring Golf Classic tomorrow as well.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you all for having me today.
Absolutely. And we certainly wish you best in your future NFL career as well.
Thank you.
All right, that'll do it for today's edition of the Garnet Trust Hour here on 107.5 The Game, Gamecock Central Takeover Hour, presented by Firehouse Subs, coming up next.